Good morning. Today's reading is taken from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 1, verses 1 to 9. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, the king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are garlands to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Diana. Not Silke. Sorry, that's my mistake. But thank you, Diana, for leading us in the reading of God's word. Morning, everyone. My name is Luke. I'm one of the leaders here at Silver Street. It's great to welcome you here. Let me add my welcome to that of Robin's. Please now turn to page 78, Exodus chapter 20. I'll give you a moment to find that. Exodus chapter 20. Good to go? Everyone got a sheet of paper? Who needs a sheet of paper to write on? Rahul, do you want one? Have you got one?
I need one.
He needs one. A sheet of paper, please, for Rahul. Anyone else? A couple at the back. Good. For some, it helps us to concentrate if we've got something to write on. So I'd recommend that. Good, shall we pray? Father in heaven, thank you so much for the privilege of being together this Sunday. Thank you for church family, and thank you for your wonderful word. Please teach us by your Spirit, for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Last Sunday evening, Rebecca's mum, Asta, went to be with Jesus. If you don't know who Rebecca is, if you've never met her, she's a member of the church here, a lady in her mid-20s. Sadly, her father also passed away of cancer about 10 years ago. And so a huge responsibility fell onto the shoulders of Rebecca and her sister Teresa in looking after Mum. She'd been battling cancer for several years and was particularly unwell in these last few months. And I had the privilege of visiting a few weeks ago, and also on the night that she passed away. And I saw firsthand the loving devotion that Rebecca has for her mother, sat at her bedside, holding her hand, comforting her, soothing her with her calm words and a kind smile. Her Bible was always open on the bed at the book of Psalms, through which Rebecca nourished her mum with words of hope. I watched as Rebecca began to gently feed her mum the liquid meals that she could manage. She was always jumping up and down, sorting this out, sorting that out. It was wonderful to see her loving devotion. It's not easy to care for someone like that, but I saw firsthand her courage and her kindness, and I left with a great respect for Rebecca and for her loving devotion towards her mum. I commend Rebecca to you as an example, a model of how to obey the fifth commandment. It's there in verse 12. Honour your father and mother. In all that she did over the past few weeks, Rebecca greatly honoured her mum. just like Jesus did. It's weird, strange, funny to think of Jesus as a child with human parents, but he was, and he honoured them. Do you remember that time that Jesus was left behind in Jerusalem at the Passover festival? And after several days of searching, his anxious parents finally found him in the temple courts, and we read that he went down to Nazareth and was obedient to them. Isn't that wonderful? This is Jesus we're talking about. This is the Son of God, the one who made and maintains all things. And yet he humbly submitted and obeyed his mum and his dad. As a tiddler, he was never selfish. As a toddler, he never caused them trouble. As a teenager, he was never rude or stroppy. I'm trying not to catch the eyes of any teenagers in the room right now. Most children think that they know better than their parents. With Jesus, that was actually true. But he...
That's true, yes.
Yeah. Amen, says Patrick. What were you saying amen to? The fact that kids think they know better than their parents?
No, that Jesus knew better.
Jesus did know better than his parents, and yet he never played that card. He never was like, do you know who I am, Mum and Dad? Instead, he humbly submitted, always respectful, always obedient. He knew how important it is to honour your father and mother. Even as Jesus hangs dying on the cross, he's obeying this command. He knows that he's not going to be around to look after his mum in old age. Sure, after he's died on the cross, he's going to rise again, but then he's going to ascend into heaven. And so he says to his good friend John, will you look after mum for me? Take her into your house. Even in his dying moments, Jesus honoured his parents. And so I commend Jesus to you as an even better model of how to honour and to obey the fifth commandment. And our Lord Jesus today calls us to do the same. Verse 12 of Exodus 20. Let's read it together. Honour your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honour your father and mother. Praise the Lord that he did die on the cross for our sins, because as we'll see today, this is something we all fall short in. Praise the Lord that he did rise again and that he sent his Holy Spirit to live in us, to empower us, to begin to enable us to actually obey this commandment. We need his help because this is something that God takes really seriously. It's true that Jesus demands a devotion to him, which is greater than even our closest family ties. But even having said that, throughout the Bible, God makes it very clear that he places a very high value on family. And so the Lord says to his rescued people, honour your father and mother. Now, I'm very aware that this, for many of us, is not a straightforward thing. Some of us don't have a father or a mother. Some of us have awful experiences with parents, abusive parents, absent parents. Some of our situations are extremely complicated and highly emotional. And on first reading, perhaps this command is one that seems impossible to you, and perhaps one that you actually don't really want to obey. Maybe you didn't realise that we were doing honour your father and mother this morning, and if you did, then you wish you'd stayed at home, but you're trapped in a row and you can't just get up and leave now. We will come back to the details of how this pans out in some of those difficult situations. But before we do that, first let's just take a step back and get an idea of the general principle. The Ten Commandments, they all have a kind of funnel shape. This is about as good as my art gets. Just imagine that is a funnel. Hey, Chloe. Don't laugh at me. This is a funnel. You can see that, right? This is how the Ten Commandments work. So each of the commandments is a specific command. But lying behind the specific command is a principle which is much broader and which applies in a wider range of circumstances. Does that make sense? So for example, next week we're going to be thinking about the next commandment, do not murder. Now, do not murder, it doesn't just mean don't go and buy a gun and shoot someone on the streets of Edmonton. It does mean that, it does include that, but actually the principle is much broader than that, and it applies in all sorts of ways. Things to do with the sanctity of life, things to do with our heart attitudes towards those that we don't get on with very well. So there is a principle, and then there's a specific command, and the command, it lies in front of the general principle. Does this make sense? Good. A funnel shape. And the same is here, is true of the fifth commandment. The specific command is honour your father and mother, but there is a general principle that lies behind that. And so let's dig into it together. What's the first word of this command? What are we actually commanded to do? What's the word? Honour. Yeah? Honour your father and mother. It's important that we dig into that word because words mean stuff, right? And so honour is a word which means more than just respect. It means more than just submit to and obey. It also means, it has a more positive sense. This word honour has the sense of esteeming someone, holding them in a place of honour, seeing them as a top priority of the highest value. It's actually the same word that is used for the glory of God, something which is weighty and honourable. And several times throughout the Old Testament, we are actually told, commanded, that we as followers of God should have this same attitude towards God, that we should honour him and glorify him. So you can see it's more than just don't be rude to your parents or always do what they say. It actually means positively to value them with the same kind of attitude that we should have for God. Here are some of the ways that the Israelites could value and honour their parents: listening to them, obeying them, speaking well of them, caring for them, praying for them, having time for them. Honouring your parents is not just about saying, yes, Mum, yes, Dad. It's actually about positively being a blessing to them. Honour your father and mother. Did you notice that? Both parents have equal status. It would be easy for us to miss that in our day and age, when thankfully women are more widely valued. But in the ancient Near East, this was radical. The men were the ones who were in charge. So it kind of makes sense to honour your father, but to honour your mother as well in that culture, well, that gives great value to women. People sometimes accuse the Bible of being sexist, misogynistic, but actually the reverse is true. Ancient Israel and Jesus himself were actually trailblazers for women's rights. And we see that here. In the family unit, mums are just as important as dads. Mums are heroes who deserve honour. Mums, I know some of you don't always feel like you're doing anything particularly significant. I'm not sure you could be doing anything more significant. Mums are heroes. They should be honoured as well as dads. And as Paul points out in Ephesians 6, this is the first command with a promise attached. Again, verse 12. In fact, why don't you read it out loud with me so that we're all awake? Verse 12. Honour your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Do you see the promise there? Under the old covenant, God's blessing was often expressed and experienced in more direct, material ways. And here the Lord makes a striking connection between honouring parents and, well, what is it you can tell me from the word, from the verse? When you honour your parents, what can you expect? Live long in the land, to have long life and flourishing. Live long and prosper, you might say. I'm feeling warm. Is anyone else feeling warm? I see you fanning your face. Could you just turn down the volume? And by that I mean temperature a couple, Connor. And maybe we can crack open a window and a door. Because I don't want you to fall asleep. That would be terrible. There is a connection there, then, with honouring your father and mother and living long and prospering. Honouring your father and mother and living long and prospering. Are we good? Ready to go? Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Nick. So why is there this connection between honouring father and mother and living long and prospering? Well, partly because to disobey this command was a dangerous thing. If you broke this commandment, if you hit your mum or you cursed your dad in ancient Israel, the penalty for that was death. And death is a surefire way of not living very long. So partly there is a connection there. But I also wonder if implied is a link between the stability of the family unit and the stability of the nation. That people's attitude in the family is an indication of their attitude to other structures of authority. And so while the Israelites obeyed their father and mother, that was an indication of a healthy view of the structures that God has given in life and in society, which leads to then a more stable society as a whole. But when the God-given structures of the family are undermined, that will always trickle down and have a destabilizing effect on society as a whole. When family relationships start ripping, that is bad news for the fabric of society. One thing I really appreciate and love about some of the cultures represented here in our church family is that a lot of you guys have a high value on family relationships, much higher than my own kind of British culture. Certainly in the society that we live in, it's not so much the case. Marriage is under attack. The individual is king. Older people are undervalued. And so it should not surprise us when society becomes inherently more fractured and unstable. Once again, we see that what God commands is only what is actually for our good. He's not a harsh and a horrible God who's just given us a bunch of rules for no reason. He actually commands what is good for us. When this command is obeyed, individuals and families and whole communities flourish and prosper. So we're beginning to see that this command is more than just a command. Are you with me? It's more than just this command. Actually, it's about this principle. It's about an attitude towards authority which has wider implications than just for the family unit. In fact, in the Bible, family language is used to describe other relationships. If it's our parents who are the ones who give us life and protect our life, well, that's true for other people that we have relationships with. For example, there are those to whom we owe our spiritual life. In 2 Kings chapter 13, the king goes to the prophet Elisha, the one who's in charge of the spiritual leadership of the country. He goes to the prophet Elisha and he calls him, "My father, my father." That wasn't true literally, but spiritually, that's the kind of relationship that they had. Or think about the New Testament. The Apostle Paul calls his calls Timothy his child in the faith. The Apostle Paul calls himself a spiritual father to the Corinthians. And the same principle applies. We should honour our spiritual parents. We should honour those who are the founders, protectors, and promoters of our spiritual life. 1 Timothy 5, verse 17. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honour, especially those who work hard at teaching and preaching. Or Hebrews 13, verse 17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. What will it look like for us to honour our spiritual parents? It will mean listening. Listening as those who are speaking the word of God. It will mean obeying. Not blindly, not unquestioningly, but as far as our spiritual leaders are being faithful to the word of God, we should do what they say. We should speak well of them. Now, this does not mean that we never say anything negative. It does not mean that we refuse to speak out when there's a problem. No, those things are really, really important for healthy leadership. And I want to say very clearly that as elders here, we welcome that. Please do speak out if there are any issues that you might have, please do raise those things. So it doesn't mean that we can never ever say anything negative, but it does mean that we won't slander, and we won't gossip, and we won't moan, and we won't snipe at our spiritual leaders in a destructive way. It means we'll thank God for them and publicly appreciate them. It will mean we care for them as they have need. It means we'll pray for them, because they definitely need that. It means we'll have time for them. Is this how you interact with the elders of this local church? Please do these things. We need it. The fifth commandment does apply to our spiritual parents. And I think we can actually broaden it further still. These same principles apply more widely to the governing authorities that God has placed over us in our land. In the Bible, rulers and kings are sometimes referred to as fathers and mothers. Governing authorities have that responsibility to guard and to protect life, a little bit like parents, and therefore they are worthy of honour. 1 Peter 2, submit yourselves to the Lord's sake, for the Lord's sake, to every human authority. Show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honour the emperor. These same things apply, at least some of them. Do you speak well of Boris Johnson? Do you pray for him? Our governing authorities and our spiritual leaders, they are no more perfect than our natural parents. But do we bear patiently with their failures? Is our attitude one of respect? The fifth commandment calls us then to esteem those that God has placed over us in those positions where they are there to protect and to promote and to give us life. And so we see then that this principle applies much more widely than just the family unit, even for those of us who are here this morning who don't have a father or a mother. But now I want to actually funnel back down to the specific command. Many of us do have fathers and mothers. And I think there's something foundational about this particular relationship, the one between parents and children. This commandment actually kicks off the second half of the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments are all about how we interact with God, our relationship with God. The second six are all about our relationship with others. So this one, if you like, is kind of top line of the second page. It's kind of the foundational relationship rule when it comes to human relationships, our relationship with one another. For sure, it represents this wider principle, but there is a reason why this particular relationship has been singled out as the specific command. So let's not lose the sharpness of what this means for our relationship with our parents. For lots of us, that is not an easy topic. In an ideal world, all of us would have two Christian parents who love us lots and who always do good for us and who always give us good advice, and it would be an easy thing to honour our parents. But it's not an ideal world. It's a messy world. It's a broken world. Amongst us this morning, there are probably as many different parent-child relationships as there are people in the room. And so we need to take real care in applying this to specific circumstances. And I'm very aware, standing up here, that I will not be able to cover all of the nuances of all of those particular situations. So please forgive me for that. But I would invite you, if you're struggling to see how this principle applies for your particular situation, then please do talk to your small group leader or to someone else here at church that you trust who can help to wrestle those things through with you. We'd love to do that. But whatever your situation is, I want to say that this command still stands. Even if you have nothing to be grateful for in your parents, even if you have no affection for them and no connection with them, we are still called to honour them. I was helped by something that Peter said this week. Where's Peter? Over here. We were talking about this, and Peter himself has a very difficult experience, particularly with his dad, who abandoned the family when they were still young. But Peter said this. He said, just because your parents hurt you doesn't make it right to hate them. Just because your parents hurt you doesn't make it right to hate them. And I think he's absolutely right. It does not benefit us to meet evil with evil. And I think the story of David and Jonathan from the Bible helps us with some of these complex situations. Before David became King David, there was another king called Saul. And Saul hated David. Saul's son, Jonathan, was best friends with David. So a bit of a complex situation going on. Especially when King Saul commanded all of his soldiers, including Jonathan, to kill David. So now Jonathan's in this situation where, yes, he should honour his parents, he should obey his dad, but at the same time, murder is wrong. And so he did the right thing, and he honoured God by disobeying his father. Saul began a long chase after David had escaped. He was intent on killing David. But then he got caught short. He needed the toilet, and so he went into a cave to relieve himself, the very cave that David was hiding in. David had a chance, quite literally, to catch Saul with his trousers around his ankles, and yet he does not kill him. Why doesn't he kill him? I thought you'd like that, Vanessa. There's always one, isn't there? He's got him there, this guy who's been trying to kill him for ages. He's got an opportunity to literally just finish him off and end all his problems. But he doesn't kill King Saul. Why? Because Saul is the Lord's anointed king. You see, he has that respect for authority. He says, far be it from me to touch the Lord's anointed king. In fact, when David then tells Saul what he'd done, that he'd spared his life, he actually calls him father, as a sign of his respect for his God-given authority. And Jonathan himself, well, Saul tried to kill him too, but even after all of that, he was so loyal to his dad that he actually ended up dying alongside him on the battlefield. Do you see the point? As one person put it, if ever there was a father who failed to deserve the respect of a son, or a king who failed to deserve the respect of his subjects, it was Saul. And yet, David and Jonathan both honoured the king. They respected his God-given authority, honouring him because they honoured God. It is right for us to honour our parents, even when they are not worthy of it. And yet, there were times when Jonathan and David disobeyed. There were times when they had to protect themselves, and that too was the right thing to do. Honouring our parents should never come above honouring the Lord. I'm sure many of us have parents who are not Christians. Perhaps they don't approve. You can't always obey their advice. You can't always listen to them and take their advice. Not if it clashes with what God has told you in his word. And honouring our parents should also never come above the need to protect ourselves. Jonathan and David did the right thing by running away. Sometimes it is necessary to create distance and even to bring to an end a relationship with a parent. God's call to honour our parents does not mean that we should allow abuse to continue. If a relationship with a parent is damaging you, that is wrong, it is not your fault, and it needs to stop. David did not respond with violence or with revenge. Instead, he created space, he made distance, and he sought help, the help of Jonathan, to help him to escape. We would be wise to do the same thing. It is right, healthy, and necessary to take steps to stop abuse, to prevent abuse, and to remove an abuser from a situation. And the same is also true in the church family amongst spiritual leaders. Please do not think that this command to honour your parents means that you should just keep quiet and submit when something is clearly wrong. If you find yourself in that kind of situation, please, please, talk to someone that you trust. That could be at school, Or you could come and speak to me or to Jolie, who's here. Stick your hand up, Jolie, so everyone knows who you are, the one who's singing. Jolie and myself are the safeguarding leads at church, so please do come and talk to us if you're able. Perhaps others of us, though, find this command difficult because maybe not abusive parents, but we've been abandoned by our parents, abandoned by those who should have cared for us. Sadly, this too is all too common. If that's you, hear these wonderful words of Scripture. Psalm 27 verse 10 says, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Do you know, no matter how brilliant your parents are, they are nothing compared with the parenthood of God. And no matter how awful your parents are, God has got a place for you in his family. Have you become part of his family yet? It's a wonderful place to be. God so loved the world that he sent his son to be lifted up on the cross in the place of broken and messy sinners like me and like you. He died for all of those ways that we behave like selfish tiddlers, or like troublesome toddlers, or like stroppy teenagers. He died for all of the times that we treat God like a killjoy dad that we want to get rid of. The punishment that we deserve is serious. It's more than just being grounded. The punishment we deserve from God our Father is to be thrown out of his house forever, for an eternity in hell. And yet Jesus paid it all so that we could be reconciled to God as our loving Father, no matter what we have done. I know some of us struggle to see God as Father because we've had awful experiences of dads, but if you get to know God, you won't be disappointed. He'll never use you. He'll never leave you. Like a wayward child, all you need to do is come back home, and you can be sure that he will welcome you as you ask for his forgiveness. He will welcome you with open arms. And as part of the family, the Lord then calls us to live in his ways, including this particular command to honour your father and mother. Remember, this is not how we are saved. Remember, these are relationship rules for rescued people, for rescued rebels. These are things that we have already been rescued from our sins. So this is not how we get saved, how we become Christians, but those who have been saved, who have already experienced the grace of Jesus, this is how he calls us to live. We are called to honour our father and mother. So just as we close, let me think about what that might specifically mean for you. If you are a child, stick your hand up if you are under 18 years old. I don't think so, Joe. I'm sorry. In fact, is it 60 this year?
Wow.
You told me that in confidence, didn't you?
I didn't.
So if you're under 18, I'm going to speak specifically to you now for a moment. This command to honour your father and mother, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus, this is for you. Colossians 3 verse 20 says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." So if you're a child at home with your parents, listen to them. Don't be distracted with your stuff or your screens. Listen to them. Give them your full attention. Obey them. You might not like what they are telling you to do, but they are trying to do what's best for you. So do what they say straight away. "Oh, Mum's so annoying. Oh, Dad's such an idiot." Don't say that. Speak well of them, even at school, even on social media. Care for them. Pray for them. They definitely need it if you're their child. Pray for them. Have time for them. Don't just run to your room. If you're grown up and you still have parents, can I encourage you to do these same things? Listen well. Obey when you can. Use your words constructively. Care for them. Proverbs 23:22 says, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." I give thanks for many in our church family, many in this room, who have and do show great care for their parents. In recent days, people like John Mark, Nick, Nikki, Cleveland and Karen, who were here last week, Daisha. And there's many more as I look out. Many more of you have cared very honourably for parents in old age. And I know it's not always an easy thing to do, but keep going because you're doing the right thing. You're obeying God's command here. Care for them. Pray for them. Perhaps for some of us, all these other things on the list are actually impossible because of the kind of relationship that we have. But even if you have nothing but pain from your parents and you have no other connection with your parents, you can pray for them. And by praying for them, you are honouring them. Pray for them. Have time for them. Give them a call. Visit if you can. Can I encourage each of us to reflect on these things and think about what it might mean for our particular situation. Again, if you need to talk to someone about working out exactly what it looks like for you and the complexities of your situation, please do chat to me or someone else afterwards. But it is a really important relationship, mother and father with their children. Why? It's important because this is the one that God singled out. This is the one that the Lord sees as foundational. He commands us in his word, honour your father and mother. And so in all of these ways, not only are we honouring our earthly parents, but we also bring honour to our Father in heaven. And so let's take a moment now, actually, to bow our heads, perhaps, to close our eyes, if you like. A moment or two of quiet, to give thanks, to pray for our parents, and perhaps to resolve, with God's help, to respond to his word today in some specific way. So a couple of moments of quiet. Our Father in heaven, we praise you that we are your children, that you are our Father, because we come through Jesus the Son. Thank you for his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, through which we have great confidence and access to you as our Father. Help us in the things that we've talked about today. They're hard, they're difficult, it's not straightforward. Please would you help us humbly to have the right attitude towards those that you have placed over us in positions of care and protection. Please would you bring healing when those positions have been abused or misused in some way. Please have mercy, we pray. Would you make us here an increasing family who care for and who love each other, and help those of us who do have parents to be those who honour them in what we do, in what we say, and how we pray, and whatever that might look like for each situation here. We pray this so that not only would they be honoured, but that you, our Father in heaven, would be greatly honoured in all that we do. And so we pray for the help of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.